Any of you here this morning play softball or had played softball? Yeah. There's a lot of good softball leagues around. The girls' softball from Florida State started up again this week. Looking forward to that. I played softball at one time, and there's a lot of leagues around, and it's a lot of fun to play softball. But there's a humorous story about an umpire in a softball league. There's a league around here. I don't remember the name, but our daughter played in that league. It's one of the city leagues. But anyhow, during the off season, there was an umpire that would participate in them. And unfortunately, he got stopped by a police officer for speeding. He pleaded for mercy. And he tried to explain to the policeman, "I'm a good driver. You can see that on my license. I'm a good..." And this is why I had this particular day be in a hurry, and I'm sorry. Well, the police officer went back to his patrol car, and he run the things that you're supposed to run. And then he came up to the window, and he handed the man a ticket. The man said, "Can't you give me some grace? I'm really sorry for it." He said, "Tell the judge that." So they went about their business. The police officer went his way. This guy went his way. And sure enough, the season came around again. And guess who was umpiring the first game? And guess who the first batter was? It was the police officer, the first batter, who ticketed that umpire standing behind him. And they recognized each other. A little eerie, not, you don't know what to say. He was awkward, the officer was awkward, but the umpire was firm. So as the guy stepped into the batter box and he's warming up, he said to the umpire, "How did that go in court?" The officer asked him as he was preparing for a swing. The umpire looked at him with a menacing look, and the umpire replied, "You better swing at everything." The umpire was going to get his revenge. And sometimes revenge can be deliciously sweet, yet most of us understand that vengeance is not a satisfactory response. Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." So when you want to have vengeance on somebody, give it to God. Neither of us can carry around a lifetime of hurt. The answer is all that we know is forgiveness. But how can we forgive someone who has hurt us? How do we overcome this painful emotion and reconcile with somebody who did us wrong? That's what the scripture lesson was talking about this morning in Matthew's gospel. Here old Peter came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Peter's question was a very sincere one because he wanted to know exactly what the master expected out of him. The rabbis at that time were teaching that one should forgive someone 3 times. Was that enough? Peter was wondering. He said, "I've been taught 3 times. Lord, is that enough?" Jesus said, "No." The Lord said, "How many times should I forgive my brother and sister? You're asking me that? 7 times. Peter thought, Jesus said, "No, it's more than that." Some of us like to have that same question answered. So forgiveness is a big problem in our lives. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. That's a lot of forgiveness. So how many times should we forgive? I tell you, Jesus said, not 7, but 77 times. That's a demanding stance. Some of us may feel it's asking too much. Mere mortals, how can we forgive that much? Yet Jesus, believe it or not, was looking out for our best interest. Forgiveness is a benefit as much as it is for the person who injured us. So, preacher, how do you come up with this conclusion that forgiveness equals freedom? I've been wronged, And forgiveness may be the furthest thing from your mind also, because most everybody that I know has been wronged one time in their life or not. But here is something I want you to see. Bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness are poison to your soul. Matthew's gospel that we just read said, when you don't forgive others, it's like turning yourself over to the torturers. And I understand what that's like. Have you ever been the subject of torture thoughts? I do. I get them. There's nothing quite as horrible as having persistent, hateful thoughts swimming through your mind day and night. That's not God letting you have those thoughts swim through your mind. It's the devil playing tricks on your mind. But they'll drive you crazy if you let them. Still, for the longest time, I would just put up with that because I felt like forgiving somebody was really unfair, I thought. Why should they be forgiven, I was thinking, when I was the one who hurt, who was the hurt one? Why should I be in pain and they get away without having to pay for the pain that they caused me? That's not fair. But those were the wrong questions. Instead, I should have been asking, why should I hang on to the unforgiveness and conscious, torturous thoughts when I could have chosen freedom? And that's what I did. It took me a long time. It didn't take me till 1986 before I finally realized that that poison that was in my soul, I had to get rid of it. I had to understand what God was talking about. And when I did, forgiveness opened the door of my faith to work in my life. Mark chapter 11 talks about that. And kept Satan from getting an advantage over me. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 2 about how Satan can get an advantage over you without you even realizing it. So I say it again. Freedom is brought to you through forgiveness. Forgiveness gives you freedom. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 27, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Familiar passage in Proverbs. But Paul said, and give no opportunity to the devil. Well, that's pretty straightforward, I guess. In fact, it may sound just too simple. You may be thinking, okay, preacher, that's my situation, but you don't know my situation. My situation is harder than anything that you ever experienced. And that's why I'm angry. And I can relate to that. Because at one time in my life, I said, Lord, why do so many people want to forgive, but they aren't able to? That question came with me for a long time until I went into ministry and I started to experience grace, love, and forgiveness. And you know where I found it? Not to promote it, but it's true, on my walk to Emmaus. God's love was revealed to me in a way that you just can't imagine. And that whole walk, or what we call a weekend, is based on Luke 24. Because I thought I knew the Lord. But until my weekend, and the Lord was there, that's what happens. Your personal three-day weekend with Jesus. Now you say, how can that be? I don't know, but that's exactly what happens. And it's based on when the two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. And this stranger came up to them. And then he was in his resurrected body, so they didn't see him or understand who he was. And they said, I can't believe you don't know what's been happening here in Jerusalem these last couple of days. And the stranger was sharing scripture with them and different things. And so they get to the end of the road, and the disciples said, the day is about gone. Why don't you stay with us and have supper? And Jesus did. And when they sit down to eat, like we do with communion, and they broke bread, their eyes were open. Lord, the resurrected Lord. And that's exactly what happens on that three-day weekend. some of you are going to go and experience it. You can share some of the same things when you come back. It's just amazing. So I struggled with that. Why do so many people want to forgive, but they're not able to? Because they aren't obeying what the Lord is telling them to do. Not obeying the words of Christ. And it led me to a study. I had did that series on 8 weeks of hurts, hang-ups, and habits. I'm a recovering alcoholic, so I got real involved with Alcoholics Anonymous and the drug rehab program. What's the name of it? NA. NA, yeah. Narcotics Anonymous. So I got to understand some of this stuff a little bit better. And I just want to share with you some of the things that I found. I found forgiveness, and it boils down to, just like the first step in NA, AA, or any of the recovery programs, you got to decide and make a decision that you're hurting and you need help. You got to decide. That's the first thing you need to do to make a decision, to forgive. If you wait until you feel like forgiving someone, it'll never happen. You have to decide that you're going to obey what God said and resist the devil, the poison. Resist the devil and he will flee, is what the scripture said. Refuse that poison. Matthew 6, 12 through 14. And then here's the other thing you got to do. You got to recognize that you can't do this thing on your own. You must rely on the help of the Holy Spirit. God will give you the ability to forgive even when the most hurtful experiences that you ever endured will humble you and call upon the name of the Lord. It says in James, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up higher and higher. It's no coincidence that Jesus told his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. And then immediately followed that command with instructions about forgiving others. You can find that in John chapter 20 also. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. He is the helper. He is the paraclete. He is the one that comes alongside. And he is our helper. And he wants to help you to do whatever you can't do in your own strength. And the third thing is, you got to obey. The Bible is very clear that we are to pray for our enemies. Luke 6. Not only that, but we're to bless them and not curse them. Romans 12. In the Beatitudes, when we looked at that word, blessed are those who, that word blessed translates into happy. There's also a Greek word that talking about the kind of blessed that I'm talking about simply means to speak well of, and to curse means to speak evil of. Our words make a difference. Not speaking evil of those who have hurt us is a matter of obedience to the Lord. So don't waste another day driving yourself crazy for something that they did a year or so ago, or maybe even yesterday, or even this morning before you come to church. Let God set you free from that bitterness and forgiveness so that you can have real peace. I was in the automobile business for many, many years before I went into ministry. Prerequisite for being successful in the car business, you got to be divorced at least twice. Being divorced 3 times helps a lot. You got to be an alcoholic. And you got to be a little bit of a conniver. And when I turned my life over to the Lord, those last couple years that I was in the car business, I had one guy come to me and said, I can't be around you anymore. And he was one of my best friends. I said, why? He said, you're different. Ever since you quit drinking and you go to that church, you're different. I said, thanks be to God. You know? And the people that I trusted stabbed me in the back. And it was just the most incredible thing. I was hurt. I was feeling bad. But I come to learn to forgive them. Because I have learned to forgive myself. And that's how I can forgive them. So don't waste another day of your life or hour about something that happened a year ago, ancient history. Let God set you free from that bitterness and forgiveness. Then you can have real joy and real peace in your life. We need to recognize that forgiveness is a gift from God. It's to be passed on to others. And it's the most powerful witness that we have in the reality of God's grace in our own lives. We need to recognize, finally, that forgiveness is a positive activity necessary for the healing and the wholeness of our own hearts. Reader's Digest, I don't see Reader's Digest around too much anymore. Used to be able to pick it up in the doctor's office, would be out there with the books, and always a good magazine for a lot of things. A lot of positive information in Reader's Digest, so the articles are really good. But some years ago, they put a little thing in Reader's Digest, and they were asking the readers to answer this question. I never regret. Think about that. I'll never regret. Here's how some of the people responded. I'll never regret the day that I quit smoking. Sandy Biss, Elbow Lake, North Dakota. I'll never regret taking naps and leaving large trips. Rihanna Ray, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'll never regret serving my country. Sharon Parsons, Oak Hill, Ohio. I'll never regret eating the last cookie. Christina Hicks, Clarksville, Tennessee. Think about that. I've ate the last cookie a couple times, got in trouble, but I never regret eating it because it was good. And that's what sin is. Sin's good. It feels good. You can have a lot of fun, but the consequences, not so good. But the last response that I'll never forget, I never will regret forgiving the person who caused me pain, which gave me relief that I never thought that I could have. Erica Jones, New York, New York. Now, Erica evidently was a very smart person who learned about the power of forgiveness. She said, I'll never regret forgiving the person who caused me pain, which gives me relief that I never thought I could have. There was a Jewish philosopher by the name of Hannah Arendt. And one of these wise words he said was this: forgiveness is the only power which can stop the stream of painful memories. You know, memories are good. But when you ask God to forgive you and you accept that forgiveness in your own life, He tells you to take all that mess and throw it into the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. What a cleansing thing. I thought, thank you, Jesus. I never have to worry about those thoughts anymore. But one thing about that, though, He will let you go and get that mess, bring it out, and share it like I'm sharing with you this morning for His glory. And then all that gnawing pain goes back into the deepest of the sea again. It's wonderful. It's such a cleansing that you just can't understand it. You just need to receive it. Forgiveness is not passive resignation of a bad situation. We don't shrug off or shrug our shoulders and say, well, there's nothing else that I can do. I might as well forgive them. There is little healing in that kind of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a positive, joyful activity in which we can change seeing ourselves as victims and seeing ourselves as victors. Forgiveness allows us to move from weakness to strength to freedom, from inadequacy to self-affirmation. Forgiveness allows us to experience within our own lives the power and the presence and the indwelling of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, if Jesus sets us free, then we are free indeed. Think about it for the rest of the day or even now. Think about, is there someone you need to forgive? Or is it you that you need to forgive yourself and accept that forgiveness? Unfaithful spouse, an overbearing parent, a friend who has stabbed you in the back. Thank you, Jesus. An employer who has taken advantage of you. I know there's pain. I've experienced that pain. There may also be pride in your life, a principle, and other people to consider. You see, the most powerful witness that we have in the action of the grace of God at work in our lives, agape love, agape grace, unmerited. You don't deserve it, but that's the kind of love that Christ gave to us on the cross. What did he tell all them people that was here and put him on the cross and giving him a bad time? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The most powerful witness is the action of God's grace in our lives. That's why my friend didn't want to be around me anymore, because he recognized God's grace in my life, and he wasn't ready to accept that. And they feel uncomfortable sometimes around people of faith for that reason, no other reason. So as we forgive, we heal not only the wounds of a broken relationship, we find healing for wounds inflicted in our own hearts by anger, hurt, and resentment. God has forgiven each and every one of us for those soiled thoughts, acts and deeds of which we are capable. Can we not forgive one another? 3 times? 7 times? Oh yeah, it's 70 times 7. Forgiveness will help you find the emotional and mental and spiritual freedom that only Christ can give. Amen. You know, the hardest person to forgive, though, is ourselves. I still get that gnawing stuff. The devil likes to play tricks on my mind. I was thinking this morning, getting ready. You know, the perfect... everybody's got a bathroom, right? It's a good solitude place to go and to pray and think. I got a little sign up on my wall that I look at. This is the library. And, you know, sometimes you're sitting there, nobody's talking, nobody, and you're thinking, and all this stuff comes creeping back. And, you know, Ralphie, are you sure you're forgiven? Did you forgive yourself? I can't believe you did that. Remember this, and that. He just did this to me this morning. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. That's what Jesus told us to do. So when you do forgive yourself, that doesn't... say that the devil won't keep bugging you, because he will. He can't read your mind, but he can trade tricks on your mind. God knows your heart. God can read your mind because he loves you and he knows what's going on in your life. He knows that you have the grace and the forgiveness that he gave to us because of his son dying on the cross. You know, Jesus not only died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, but he was put into the grave, and the third day he rose from the dead, giving us complete victory over sin and death. We have now access to the Holy of Holies, God's grace, because of what Christ did. Because when he was on the cross, and he gave up the ghost, so to speak, when he died, the veil in the Jewish temple, thick, probably about this thick, was rent in two, signifying to us that we have direct access to God through Christ. But he didn't stop there. People seen him. The guys on the walk to, or on the road to Emmaus seen him. But he didn't stop there. And he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was taken up. And an angel said to the disciples, this Jesus, which you have seen come up, will also come back. That's what we hang on to. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. Is the blessed hope that we have in Christ. Eternal life. That's why you heard me say many times, and Judy says I repeat myself a lot, but Jesus repeated himself a lot, so I'm in good company. But what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, that if we only had this life to look forward to. Does everybody here this morning have a perfect life? Everything's been great and roses in your life? No. So if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, because the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and his promise of him returning. There's a lot of different commentaries, and a lot of people talk about, well, the rapture is not in the Bible. It's not in the English Bible, that's for sure that word isn't, but in the Latin Vulgate, it is there. And it's called, I can't ever say it, reptio in Latin, which is taking away or taken up. So we hang on to it, whether you agree, whether we're in the pre-trib or mid-trib or final trib, or whether the rapture is true or not, we don't know. But that should not divide us. Because if we're hanging on to the blessed hope of Christ, we're going to know when all this stuff takes place.